It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
All right. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is January 4th, 2021, and that means that it, my friends, is Tuesday. My headphones, still not getting any monitor in my headphones, but I'm going to hope and assume that you can hear me and hear that intro music. Just want to tell you, if you want to hang out and talk during the show, you can do like me and just SSH over to SDF. And then once you're there, go ahead and launch COM, that's C-O-M, press enter. And you press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, hit enter. And from there, you'll be in the room, and you'll get to be there with lots of cool people. There's currently 67 different terminals all connected. And we got cool people like Ronald and Bob Jonkman and Jeff. And Publius, all hanging out, having a good time in COM, unimagined. So, thank you so much for being here. Yeah, so there's lots going on, lots of stuff happening. Work today is the first day back to work. Yesterday, I showed up, went through all my email, did about 2 or 3 hours of work before I realized we were off. So, I did the show and then didn't go log back into work, so, today, I'll probably log out early because of that. Anywho. Oh, sorry. It isn't 21. Bob Jonkman, good call. That's right. Sorry. Let's rewind that. It is January 4th, 2022. Oof, that sounds funny to me. Sounds like we're in the future. 2022. And so now it's Tuesday. Because if it was 2021, we'd be on the wrong day. That'd be very confusing for the historians archiving the archives. Speaking of which, if you ever miss a show or any of the shows on Anon Radio, you can just go to anonradio.net and then go to the archives section, and you can see years and years past shows. If you go back and look through my shows, you'll see there's a big gap. Because I used to do a Creative Commons Valence Electron show, which is an electronic, Creative Commons licensed music electronic show, where it played music. So sometimes those play on the reruns, and it's very confusing. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get going. Let's get started. There's a lot to talk about, so let's get going. Let's start the way we almost always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news. World. Kenyan police have so far arrested 8 people in connection with Monday's attack in Kenya's coastal Lamu County, in which 6 people were killed and homes burnt. Police had earlier in the day, on Tuesday, arrested 4 other people. The police issued a statement naming 8 people arrested in connection with the investigation into the killing. In the attack, which took place Sunday night and Monday morning, one man was beheaded. They looted his house and shot dead another man whose body was found on the side of the road. Subsequently, the bodies of 4 other men were found burnt, with their hands tied, and could not be identified. Houses were burnt and shell casings found at the scene. The Lamu County has witnessed several attacks in the past, with residents and local authorities initially suspecting Islamist Shabab rebels on Monday. The National Police spokesman, Bruno Shioso, told AFP, "The investigation is progressing well, and so far 4 people are in custody. There will be more arrests." It has been established for the moment that the attack is linked to local land disputes. He added, saying such incidents are usual in the area. So, yeah, that's what's going on there in Kenya. We have some other probably better news out of Africa. 21 abducted school children were rescued in northwestern Nigeria. They were rescued hours after they were abducted by armed groups in West Africa's countries. I thought they were going to give us a different country name. They were abducted by armed groups in the northwestern region. Police spokesman Mohamed Shehu said in a statement over the weekend that the school children were abducted on Friday while they were moving from the Bakura area with their teacher to an Islamic school in neighboring Katsina State. Security forces responded and rescued the 21 pupils and are currently working to rescue the remaining victims and apprehend the perpetrators. So no word on how many were kidnapped here. We're going to go after each and every one of them, the gunmen, until all Nigerians feel safe to go about their normal business, he said. The reports that on Sunday, another group of bandits killed 6 rural residents in several attacks in Kaduna State, which neighbors Nigeria's capital city, the State Commissioner for Internal Security, Samuel Arwan, said. Hey, Tom, I hope you get lots of cool mail. The large bands of assailants mostly consist of young men from Fulani ethnic group who traditionally worked as nomadic cattle herders and are caught up in a decades-long conflict with Hausa farming communities over access to water and grazing land. We talked about this before. Okay, and so yeah, that's what's going on. That was just the connection there. Scores have been killed as fighting escalates near Yemen's Marib. About 200 fighters, I'm not sure if it's Marib or Marib, M-A-R-I-B, about 200 fighters have been killed in fresh clashes near the strategic Yemeni city of Marib, military and medical sources said Tuesday, as the 7-year war witnesses a surge in violence. More than 125 Houthi rebels were killed in airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition in clashes with pro-government forces in Shabwa and Al-Baida provinces bordering Marib, medical sources told AFP. The pro-government Giants Brigade, backed by Saudi Arabia and the UAE, also lost 70 fighters, Yemeni government sources said. The clashes took place over the past 24 hours. The Saudi-led coalition has been fighting for nearly 7 years in support of Yemen's government against the Houthis, in a conflict that has displaced millions and created the world's worst humanitarian crisis, according to the United Nations. As hostilities escalate, the rebels on Monday said they'd seized a military ship flying UAE flag. The coalition insisted it was carrying medical supplies. There's always kind of the way that goes, right? A lot of times, any ship that gets boarded or stolen, suddenly it was carrying medical supplies or it was on a humanitarian mission. So it's always hard to tell what's what. Oop, had an eyelash in my eye. Sorry about that. Welcome, X1. Thanks for tuning in and joining us in calm. So anyway, recent weeks have seen another spike with Saudi airstrikes on rebel territory multiplying, while the Houthis have ramped up missile and drone assaults on the kingdom. 39 wounded arrived at Shabwa's Attack ATAQ, so at Shabwa's Attack Hospital, in just one day on Sunday, according to Medicine Sans Frontieres, Doctors Without Borders that arrived in late December. And it's funny, because in France, Doctors Without Borders is Medicine Sans Frontieres, and I think that's where that's where Doctors Without Borders started. So it's just interesting because on France 24, they make sure to use the French name. Well, let's talk about Kazakhstan. What? No, it's not the Commie People's Republic, but you know what? I could see it being based on them. Protests erupt in Kazakhstan after fuel price rise. Demonstrators are taking to the streets for a third day amid soaring energy prices, marking a rare show of mass public dissent in the former Soviet Republic. The demonstrations initially erupted during the weekend in the town of Zanozan in the oil-rich western Mangistau region, sparked by the lifting of price caps on liquefied petroleum gas, or LPG. They have since spread to several towns and cities, including the regional hub of Aktau on the country's Caspian Sea coast, as well as a worker camp used by subcontractors of Kazakhstan's biggest oil producer, Tengizchevroil. The protests have reportedly involved thousands of people. Demonstrators in Zanozan, an oil industry hub where dozens of people were killed in protests in 2011, triggered by the sacking of oil workers calling for better pay and working conditions, demanded the price of LPG be halved from 120 tenge, or 27 cents US per liter, to the level at which the fuel was sold last year. Retailers have agreed to cut the price by a quarter, but President Kasym Jomart Tokayev's government has said further cuts are impossible because of production costs. And Publius lets us know here, Kazakhstan is one of the major uranium-producing countries, although it has no nuclear power plants. Again, one of those things where we can't let poor countries get access to nuclear power because reasons, I guess. I guess the fear is that you don't want a country to have this deadly technology that might desperately need to sell it for something, but I don't know why nuclear power is so. Anyway, Let's keep moving. The Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, aka the U.S. Arms Propaganda Force, in the region there, has reported that Kazakh police detained the second RFERL journalist. Kazakh police have detained a second RFERL journalist covering protests in Central Asian nation, in the Central Asian nation, as unrest grows over a steep rise in energy prices. So, the service editor, Darkan Omibrekov, was detained in the capital of Nur Sultan on January 4th by police at a demonstration just hours after officers briefly held, without explanation, Kasim Amanzol, the acting Almaty bureau chief of RFERL's Kazakh language service, known locally as Azatik, as he filmed the third consecutive day of protests over a sudden dramatic hike in prices for LNG, or LPG. That's kind of crazy, but yeah, that's what's going on. I'm sorry, I might be talking a bit fast or crazy. I don't want to say manically, but I might be talking a bit fast or... Oh, I'm clipping. Sorry. Oh, dear. Let's adjust that. Audio problems in Marcus Land. Sorry. Anyway. Almaty, also known as Almata. Ah, Alma-Ata. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, well, it's almost time to play some music.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
But we can't just yet. We can't. We got to play. We got two more stories. First, Canadian court awards $84 million to relatives of six people killed in downing of passenger plane by Iran. What does that mean? Well, a Canadian court awarded $84 million to the families of six people who died when Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, or IRGC, downed a Ukraine International Airlines plane 2 years ago. All 176 people on board were killed when they shot down the airliner in January 2020, shortly after takeoff from Tehran's airport. More than 130 of the passengers had ties to Canada. Citizens or residents of Afghanistan, Britain, Iran, Ukraine, and Sweden were also killed. The relatives awarded compensation in the ruling announced on January 3rd had filed a civil lawsuit against Iran and other officials they believed were blamed for the incident. The plaintiffs lost spouses, siblings, children, nieces, and nephews aboard the flight. Their lawyer, Mark Arnold, said in a statement on January 3rd, Iran did not defend itself in court, making it a default judgment. I wonder how much he's getting paid for this. Arnold said his team will look to seize Iranian assets, including oil tankers in Canada and abroad, to cover the award. He said his team will be looking to seize whatever it can. The decision by Ontario's Superior Court of Justice was dated December 31st and announced by Arnold. The same court ruled in May that the destruction of the commercial plane was an intentional act of terrorism. So, that is what's going on there. The Iran Foreign Ministry denounced the ruling as shameful and said the court's decision lacked legitimate evidence. Iran also rejected Canadian class action lawsuits related to the downing of the flight, arguing that Canadian courts have no jurisdiction and insisting that all judicial proceedings be conducted inside of Iran. A Canadian forensic team report last year accused Iran of incompetence and recklessness over the downing of the plane. So, there you have it. That is what's going on in Canada, or that's our story from Canada today. Now, here's a short but sweet one. A young Senegalese music producer is digitizing one of the largest back catalogs of African music in the world. Benitou Sylla's father founded the African label Sylart Records, that's S-Y-L-L-A-R-T Records, and discovered some of the continent's biggest names. Until the project began, much of the music from the legendary label had only been available on vinyl records and CDs. Benitou wants to make this forgotten heritage the future of African hip-hop. And this title was titled Africa's Lost Motown Years Rediscovered, which I thought was really cool because Motown is a good time. It's almost always a good time. So, anywho, let's go ahead and play a song here. I can't hear it, so I hope that that you like it. This is Smokey Robbins.
Now if there's a smile on my face, Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
All right. That's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, and Anon Radio is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's right. You know it. It's powered by you. So, thank you so much for being here and tuning in. And big shout-out to the internet for helping me out. I went and was noticing my speed, my internet speeds at home were poor. I was only getting like 200 megabytes to 300 megabytes down, and I have a 1,000 gigabyte service. Well, I searched around. Turns out a lot of routers that support DDWRT or other open source firmwares, the open source firmwares don't have some kind of bypass mechanism. I want to learn more about it, but essentially what happens is all of the routing is done through the CPU and doesn't get to use any of the onboard hardware for the routing of the traffic, and so what ends up happening is you lose a huge amount of bandwidth because the router is doing everything through its slow little CPU. So I flashed it back and I went from 200, maybe 300 megabytes up to 800. So I guess I'm going to have to deal with the stock firmware. But anyway, that's just a little PSA from me to you. Let's go ahead and get back into some news here. I thought this was kind of funny, and since it's near lunchtime for a lot of people in the United States, I wanted to mention this. Ohio student sues coaches for allegedly forcing him to eat pizza against their religion. A high school student has filed a lawsuit against his former school and sports coaches after they forced him to eat a pepperoni pizza against his religion. My router, I have a Netgear Nighthawk 6700 V3. The 17-year-old student, known in court documents as KW, Bob Jonkman in Com asks, "What's your router model?" I have a Nighthawk, I think it's a 6700 model. Sorry, I did that. I have a bad habit of talking to Com and not mentioning what was asked or what happened. So, sorry about that. Anyway, one. All right, here it is. Boop. Sorry, I'm just. It's an R6700 V3. That's what it is. Just as a heads up. All right. So a kid got forced to eat pizza even though he doesn't eat pork. According to the complaint filed last week, coaches at the Canton McKinley High School in Stark County, Ohio, forced Junior to eat the pizza in the middle of a gymnasium after he was unable to attend a weightlifting session due to a shoulder injury. Junior asserts that at the time of the incident, he'd been a member of the football team for 2.5 years, and coaches were aware of his dietary restrictions. Junior reminded defendants, employees, that he does not eat pork due to his religious beliefs. In fact, Junior kicked the pizza box away from him, refusing to touch the pork pepperoni pizza. Defendants' employees retrieved the pizza box and again ordered Junior to eat the pepperoni pizza. It had Junior stated a minimum of 10 times he didn't eat pork or pork residue. At this point, defendants' employees then stated that Junior could remove the pork pepperoni slices. However, the residue was clearly still covering the pizza, and Junior continued to object. When his coaches then threatened to remove him from the team, Junior ate the pizza with the pepperoni residue. So, so this is just... The 7 coaches were fired in June after the incident. Peter Patikos, an attorney for most of the former coaches, argued that his clients are the real victims in this matter and were wrongly terminated and have sued for defamation. So, that's going on in Ohio. Sorry about the distraction there on the router version. It's something I did earlier today, and it was a big deal. It was a big difference for me at home. So, sorry about that. Yeah, Leon G, I can't wait for IPv. Leon G says, I can't wait for everything is on IPv6 and everything is its own router over I2P or something. And Publius made nachos for dinner. Hey, welcome, Namoran. So on the topic of IPv6, that's something that the only thing I think that Spectrum did right is they gave me a native, they gave me an IPv6 IP and had IPv6 DNS readily available. When I switched to WebPass from Google Fiber, they do not support IPv6 at all. So I can't even get an IPv6 public IPv6 address from them. All right, what else is going on? Well, we've got about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe comes up. So we got to get the news out. You know, we got to...
That's correct.
That's correct. All right. Gonna cough. All right, there we go. Yeah, DGC is starting soon. Tune in. It is a ton of fun. All right, let's get going. Here we go.
World News.
School children face fraught return to class as Omicron runs amok in France. Millions of French children headed back to school on Monday without the usual knock-on effects of school holidays, lower levels of pediatric COVID-19 infections. This time, Omicron is being behind an unchecked viral spread among all ages in France, with an average 167,000 cases confirmed daily. A new COVID-19 school protocol released Sunday closes some glaring gaps in the fight to stem infections among children, but also opens new opportunities, observers fear, for Omicron to run amok. Don't worry, it's not just in France. Second Chinese city forced into COVID lockdown. China's put a second city into total lockdown after just 3 asymptomatic COVID cases were discovered. Yuzhou, Y-U-Z-H-O-U, which has a population of 1.1 million, saw its transport system shut down and all but essential food stores closed overnight. Follows a similar lockdown in Xi'an, where 13 million have been confined to their homes since December 23rd. The strict measures come ahead of the Lunar New Year and the Winter Olympics due to be held in Beijing. With exactly a month to go until the games start, Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin assured reporters China had formulated an efficient and highly effective defense system. Yuzhou. Oh, Yuzhou. Thank you. Thanks, Publius. I appreciate your pronunciation help. You help out a lot. Yuzhou. All right. So that's going on there. What else is happening? Well, there's a lot of COVID stuff going on. UK faces hospital crisis as daily COVID cases hits 200,000 people. UK reports 218,724 cases as hospitals come under pressure due to staff shortages caused by COVID-19. Who knew COVID-19 affects people that work at the hospitals? There's no way we could have figured that out. The United Kingdom's coronavirus caseload crossed 200,000 for the first time. The government said on Tuesday it logged 218,000 infections in the previous 24 hours. Of course, not to be outdone, U.S. sets global record of 1 million COVID-19 cases in a single day. The United States recorded more than 1 million COVID-19 cases on Monday, according to data from Johns Hopkins University, as the Omicron variant continues to spread at a blistering pace, much like how fast I'm talking. Johns Hopkins, which has been tracking case numbers since the start of the pandemic, also reported 1,688 deaths for the same period. A day after U.S. top pandemic advisor Anthony Fauci said the country is experiencing almost a vertical increase. It's almost like they cut quarantine periods in half and told everybody to go fly and enjoy their holiday. It's very funny how they think they can trade blood for money and then are so surprised when people die. What else? Well, lots of stuff, but we're running out of time. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Here's just a couple of tech stories that I wanted to add in here. One, Elizabeth Holmes, the Theranos founder, was convicted of fraud. And top U.S. phone firms agree to delay 5G rollout. It's not because of anything crazy. It's just because the U.S. Transportation Security, Pete Buttigieg, and the Federal Aviation Administration have made requests about aviation safety. They warned that C-band spectrum 5G wireless signals could interfere with aircraft electronics or disrupt flights. All right. Well, I think that does it. We're going to go ahead and play the outro music here.
Well,
good luck, Bob Jonkman.
That our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
7.